Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. This is God's word. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and of barley, of wine, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the wealth of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord God makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the word of God. Let's go to him in prayer very quickly. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We have so much to be grateful for, and we are guilty of forgetting you and forgetting your grace to us. I pray, allow us to see the grace and the mercy that comes to us through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's Thanksgiving. The season, the holiday season, and you will soon be starved, and then you will be stuffed. And I thought about putting in your outline Thanksgiving season, Thanksgiving starvation, and Thanksgiving stuffing, but that didn't fit the passage. And so we're going to talk about the wilderness season, and the wilderness starvation, and the wilderness stuffing. I'll explain each of those as we go along. And the question I want us to ask is, how is it that we can be grateful and abundantly overflowing with gratitude and joy when life feels more like a wilderness than it does a walk in the park? And the answer is in this passage. And the first thing that you have to know is that it is wilderness season. And what I mean by that is the Bible says we are in a wilderness. And wilderness is a hot and desert, dry place where there's danger and you're vulnerable. There's disease. There's all sorts of things that can kill you. And the Bible says, very realistically, that life is like a wilderness. Every season of life, even the happy seasons, have aspects of wilderness. So if you're young and you've gotten married, and you've gotten married in joy, and it is a joyous thing, and then the years go by and you might see that marriage has some wilderness in it. Or if you've gotten a new job, and at first it looks wonderful, and then after a while, the wonder of it fades away, and it's wilderness. Thanksgiving season comes once every year, but the wilderness is always with us. The Israelites understood that they were in the wilderness. The passage we just read is from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses gave this sermon. Deuteronomy is like a long sermon that was given right before they were going to enter into the promised land. And as we read in verse 2, it says, God led you these 40 years in the wilderness that he might humble you and test you and know what was in your heart. And now we might not be in a literal wilderness, but in the Bible, in Hebrews 4, it tells us that we are much like the Israelites in the wilderness. The promise of entering God's rest is held out to us, just like it was held out to them. And so what that means is that the first step of finding joy and gratitude in life is to be realistic that we are actually in a wilderness. And that means that this life is full of misery and sin. We are broken people going through all kinds of trials. And that means we're not surprised when suffering comes our way. We are not surprised when we get a bad doctor's report. We're not surprised when those we love experience broken marriages and broken lives. We're not surprised. We're not overly pessimistic about this life. God is working in it, but we're not overly optimistic either. We know that our hope is not found here. It is not found in this life ultimately. So that's the first thing to know. It's wilderness season. The second thing you should know is you should realize the danger of starvation in the wilderness. Because the wilderness is a hot and dry place, it's a place full of danger. A danger of dying. Now that's probably the furthest thing from your mind as you grab some turkey tomorrow. Particularly in America, we don't know what it's like to literally starve. There are many places around the world that are without food and without water. But not America. Not this place. For the Israelites, they were afraid of literal starvation. In fact, in Exodus 16, when they are brought out of Egypt with miracles, miraculous signs and wonders, plagues were brought on the Egyptians. They were brought out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. The Lord parted the Red Sea and they went through. And after all that they had seen, they grumbled and complained in the wilderness. And there's a part in Acts 16 where they say to Moses and Aaron, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." The first way that we can die in the wilderness is by forgetting the Lord's grace. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. There were no meat pots in Egypt. There were no There was no bread falling from heaven, and they had amnesia. And we can forget God when bad things happen. I think that's very easy to do. When something bad happens in your life, you can think, you can look back with nostalgia. If only life were like it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. If only life were a little bit like it was in the past. God's favor was on us then, but it's no longer on us now. And so when bad things happen, we tend to forget. Forget the Lord's grace, and that can lead us to self-pity. It can lead us to saying, you know, woe is me. Woe is me and my life, because we've forgotten what the Lord has done for us. You can think the current lot is worse than it actually is. So that's the first way we can die in the wilderness, is forget God's grace when bad things happen. But the second way is you can forget God's grace when good things happen. When you can try to fill your spiritual hunger by relying on success or good fortune, and when times are good, it's easy to forget the Lord's grace. In verse 11, it says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God." Then in verse 14, "Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And then one of my favorite lines in verse 17, Moses says, "Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." When times are good, we forget the Lord's grace. And we can be filled with pride and think that it was our achievement that brought us these material possessions. It was our power that brought us these good things in life. And that will lead us to pride. And that will lead us to be short-sighted and deluded. And ultimately, the way this passage ends is that those good things in life will be taken away. We will ultimately perish, and then where will those good things be? So how do we not die in the wilderness of starvation? Well, first, to realize that you're in the wilderness, be very realistic, but also, second, don't forget God's grace. Don't forget God's grace when times are bad and you feel like, woe is me. Don't forget God's grace when times are good and you think, I don't need the Lord. Those are the times when we need God the most. But finally, the way to have real abundant life, to be filled with stuffing in the wilderness, is to realize the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our wilderness stuffing. When Jesus was sent into the wilderness after he was baptized, he was experiencing everything the Israelites experienced. Everything that you could ever imagine in life, he experienced. And the devil tempted him. He quoted this passage, "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And so Jesus stood the test where all of us have failed. He was in a dry and weary place without any water. When he went to the cross, he experienced ultimate abandonment. He experienced an ultimate wilderness like we would never know. The wrath of God, the punishment for our sins, came down on him. Physical starvation, spiritual death, that is what he went through. And he took that punishment so that when you were in the wilderness, you could live. So that when you went through the hard and dry and weary places, you would not be abandoned by God, because he was abandoned. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He says, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. If you try to survive on your own in the wilderness, you will fall into the temptation of self-pity, or the temptation of pride, or the temptation of envy of other people who seem to have it better than you, and you will forget God's grace, and you will not be thankful. But there is hope that one who has died in your place will fill you with ultimate joy. If you believe in him, the wilderness will not destroy you. This life will not destroy you. It's going to be like a fire that purifies you and ultimately bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. When Moses paints this picture of a glorious future, a land of abundance, in verse 7, the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of abundance, water, springs, valleys, hills, wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, honey. You'll lack nothing. You shall eat and be full. He's not just talking about the land of Canaan. That is a small picture of the abundant joy in life and the abundant riches that God is taking you into one day of everlasting bliss, a new heavens and a new earth, where the sorrows of this life will be done away with. That is your hope in the wilderness. That it's not aimless wandering with no purpose. If you want your wilderness turned into a rich, abundant life, you have to put your trust in Christ. Only in Christ will you be rescued from self-pity and suffering. You'll be rescued from pride and arrogance when things are good. You will have hope of a glorious future in heaven, that this life is not the ultimate end. This earth is not the ultimate destination. That's the real stuffing that will fill you up this Thanksgiving. Hope in Christ and the wonderful future of eternal life that we have. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess that we so often forget your grace. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, you have rescued us and redeemed us. And yet we forget all that you have done for us in Christ. When times are bad, when things go for us as we do not wish them to go, Lord, we despise your providence, and we think there's no one in control and that nobody is over all of this. No one is working this out for our good. When times are good, we think that this is the ultimate, this is the end, and we forget you. And so we confess that we are full of sin, we are full of pride, we are full of arrogance, and so often forget the riches that are ours in Christ. We take our eyes off the ultimate prize and the ultimate destination. We pray that you would be filled with our praise and thanksgiving today in this season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I forgot to mention to our teachers that we are going to have a thank offering tonight. If you didn't have an opportunity to do a thank offering, this is